so afraid, because in the dreams the same pathology, the same illness will be revealed as he is revealing in others' dreams. He says, I cannot lose my authority. I cannot tell you about my dreams. Freud, the greatest psychologist of this age, is prone to all the illnesses that anyone is. When Jung said that I am going to leave you, he fell from his chair and became unconscious, swooned. For hours he was unconscious, so much shocked, just by leaving a disciple. That a disciple says, I am going to leave you. If you say to a Buddha that I am going to leave you, can you conceive that he falls down and becomes unconscious? All the 10,000 disciples leave him, he will be so happy that it is so good that you have gone. Why? Your psychologists also are from you, they are not from above. They have same problems. So one psychoanalyst goes to another psychoanalyst to be analyzed. It is not different as one doctor goes to another doctor to be treated. But for doctors, it is okay. They can be forgiven. But for psychologists, it seems absurd. One psychoanalyst going to another to be analyzed. What does it mean? He is an ordinary man. Psychology is just a profession. Buddha is not in any profession. He is not an ordinary man. He has awakened to a new reality. He has reached to a new state of being. Now he can look from a peak. He can understand you. You cannot understand him. And howsoever he tries, it is really impossible to make you understand him. You will go on misunderstanding him unless you are caught not by his words but by his personality. Unless you are caught by his magnetism, not by his words. If you are caught by his magnetism and you become just like an iron piece, only then you will be able to understand him. Otherwise you will misunderstand. That is the reason you can't see. But the world is always with its own enlightened persons. Pathology is recognized because we are pathological. So we can see and understand. Secondly, even if there is one, a single human being who has achieved enlightenment ever throughout human history, even if there is one Buddha, he is enough to show you the possibility. If it can happen to one human being, why it cannot happen to you? If one seed can become flower, every seed potentially has become flower. You may be just a seed, but now you know your future. Now you are aware that much more is possible. But with human mind, the reverse is happening. It has been happening always. You see a cocoon, and then it breaks, and the butterflies moves. With man, it seems to be quite the reverse. Man is born as a butterfly, and then he enters the cocoon. Every child is more Buddha-like than he ever will be again. Look at a child. Look at the eyes. They are more Buddha-like. The way he sits, the way he moves, the grace, the beauty. The living in the moment. Even his anger is beautiful. It is so total. And whenever anything is total, it is beautiful. Look at a child in anger, jumping and screaming. Just look. Don't be concerned with yourself that he is disturbing you. Just look at the phenomena. That anger is beautiful because the child is so totally in it. Nothing is left behind. He is anger. And he is so authentic. Nothing is being suppressed. He is not withholding. He has moved and become anger. Look at the child. When he loves, when he welcomes you, when he comes near to you, he is more like a Buddha. But soon you will help him, the society will help him to enter the cocoon, and then he will die in that. From cradle we enter into grave immediately. That's why so much pathology is there, because no one is allowed to be natural. The pathology is forced. You are caged, imprisoned in a dead pattern, and then your spontaneous being suffers and you cannot come out of it. That's why so much pathology is there. This pathology is man created. And the more man gets civilized, the more pathological he becomes. So now this is a criterion. If in your country there are less madmen, noble, you are less civilized. If in your country the madmen are growing and everyone is going insane, and everyone is going to the psychoanalyst, know well, you are the most civilized country in the world. When any country achieves the optimum, everyone would have become mad. Civilization drives you mad because it is not allowing you to be your natural self. Everything is suppressed. And with suppression, everything is distorted. You cannot even breathe naturally. Anything else is out of question. Even your breath is unnatural. You cannot breathe deeply because the society doesn't allow to deep breathe. Breathe deeply, because if you take deep breaths, you cannot suppress your instincts. If you want to suppress anything, you can observe in yourself. If you are angry and you want to suppress it, what you will do? Immediately you will stop breathing. With anger, breathing goes deep. Because anger will need a hot flow of blood in you. Anger will need more oxygen. Anger will need you, will need some chemical changes within you. And through breathing, those changes happen. So whenever you feel angry and want to repress it, you cannot breathe. You will take shallow breaths. Look at a child. Just tell him not to do something. Immediately his breathing will be shallow. Then he cannot breathe deeply. Because if he takes deep breaths, he cannot follow your command. Then he will do whatsoever he likes to do. So no one is taking even deep breaths. If you take deep breaths, your sex center is massaged from within. And the society is against it. Take slow breaths, shallow breaths. Don't go deep, so the sex center is not hit. Really, civilized man has become incapable of deep sexual orgasm because he cannot take deep breaths. In love act, your breathing must be so deep that your whole body becomes involved. Otherwise, you will not achieve orgasm. And then you will feel frustrated. So many people come to me and they say, there is no pleasure in sex. We go on doing it like a mechanical act. And only energy is lost. And after it, we feel frustrated, depressed. The reason is not sex. The reason is only they are not getting in it totally. It becomes local. So only semen is released and they feel weak and nothing is gained through it. If the whole body is involved like an animal and every cell of the body is excited, it starts shaking. And the whole body becomes an electric force. And feeling moves. And you become egoless, headless. The thinking is not there. You are the body, moving in a rhythm, vibrating in a rhythm. Then you will have a deep pleasure out of it. Relaxed, in a certain sense fulfilled. But this cannot happen because you cannot take deep breaths. You are so afraid. Look at the body. The body has two poles. One pole is for intake. Your head is for intake. The upper pole is for intake. Food, air, impressions, thoughts, anything you intake from the upper part. This is one pole. The lower body is for release. It is not for intake. You cannot take anything in from the lower. The lower body is to release, to relax. You take from the upper, and from the lower, you release it out. But the civilized man only takes and never releases. That creates pathology. You go mad. It is just like eating food and then going on storing it and never defecating. You will go mad. The other pole has to be used. If someone is a miser, automatically he becomes constipatory. Look at any miser, he will be suffering by constipation. Miserliness is a sort of spiritual constipation. Go on hoarding, don't leave anything. Those who are against sex, without knowing what they are doing, are misers. They go on taking food, but they will not release the sex energy, then they will go mad. There is no need to release it only from the sex center. There is another possibility to release it from sahasrara. That's what Tantra teaches. But it must be released. You cannot hoard it. Nothing can be hoarded in the world. The world is a movement. It is a river. Take it and give. If you take in and never give, you will become mad. That's what is happening. Everyone is taking and no one is giving. You become afraid when the moment of giving comes. You want just to take. Even love, you want someone should love you. The basic need is you should love someone. Then you will be released. If someone loves you, that will not help, because you are taking in again. These both poles must be balanced. Then health happens. And that's what I call normal being. A normal being is whose take in and give out is parallel balanced. Is normal. I call abnormal the man whose taking in is too much and giving out is unbalanced. He is not giving out at all. Even if he gives sometimes, it has to be forced. It is not his own. You can snatch something from him. You can force him to give, but he will not give. His giving out is just like enema. It is not natural. You can force, so he will defecate, but he is not defecating. He is not ready. This is abnormal. Just going on holding everything. Then you will go mad because your whole system is disturbed. This is abnormal. And supernormal is one who gives, never takes in. These are three things. Abnormal, who takes in, never gives out. Normal, who's given and give and take is balanced. Supernormal, who never takes in, only gives. A Buddha is a giver. A madman is a taker. He is the opposite pole of Buddha. And if your both are balanced, you are a normal man. At least be normal. Because if you cannot be normal, you will fall down and you will become abnormal. If you don't want to be normal, then transcend it and becomes supernormal. That's why Dan, giving, is so much emphasized in all religions. Give. Whatsoever it is, give. And don't think in terms of taking in. Then you will become supernormal. But that's a very far off thing. First, be normal. Be balanced. Whatsoever you take in, give it back to the world. You be just the passage. Don't hold. You will never become mad. You will never be neurotic, schizophrenic, psychotic, or whatsoever may be the name. My definition of normal man is one who is balanced, absolutely balanced. Nothing is retained. He takes the breath in and then allow it to move out. The coming in breath and the going out breath are just the same, balanced. Try to be balanced. And always remember, you must give back that which you have received. You will be alive, healthy, silent, peaceful, happy. A deep rhythm will happen to you. And this rhythm happens by give and take balance. But we go on thinking in terms of getting in more and more. Whatsoever you get in without giving it out will create disturbance, tension, suffering. You will become a hell. Before you take something in, always think to release something out. Have you observed that you always emphasize the breath that goes in? You never emphasize the breath that goes out. You take the breath in, and then the body throws the breath out. Reverse it. You will be more normal. Emphasize the outgoing breath. Throw the breath out as much as you can, and leave the body to take in. When you take in and you have not released, your lungs are filled with carbon dioxide, and you go on taking in and you never release the whole lungs. So you go on forcing the carbon dioxide inwards. Your breathing becomes shallow because the whole lungs are filled. First throw it out and forget about taking in. The body will take care itself. Body has its own wisdom, and it is more wise than you. Throw the breath out and forget taking in. Don't be afraid, you are not going to die. The body will take in, and it will take in as much as is needed. As much you have thrown out, it will take in, and the balance will be there. If you take in, then you will disturb the balance because the holding mind is there. I have been staying in many, many houses. I see they have collected so many things. They cannot live. There is no space to live. And they go on holding. Whatsoever they go on holding. And they think someday it will be needed. Whatsoever is not needed, don't hoard it. And if something is needed more than by someone else, more than you, it is better to give it. Be a giver and you will never be pathological. All the old civilizations were based on dan, on giving. And this modern civilization is based on hoarding. That's why more people are going abnormal, neurotic. And everyone is asking from where to get. And no one is asking from where to go and give, to whom to give. The last question. Daily in each of your talk, you speak of awareness, total awareness, uninterrupted awareness. You also said it cannot be achieved by mind, by repeating the thought, it is to be felt. But how can one feel unless one achieves it? What is that feel which is the precursor of achievement? how to imagine a project that which has not yet happened, that too by excluding mind. What is the whole process? How can it be made feasible? When I say awareness cannot be attained by mind, I mean you cannot attain it by thinking about it. You can go on thinking about and about, you will be moving in a circle. When I say it cannot be attained by the mind, I mean it cannot be attained by thinking. You have to practice it. You have to do it. It can be attained only by doing, not by thinking. The first thing. So don't go on thinking what awareness is, how to achieve it, what will be the result. Don't go on thinking. Start doing it. Walking on the street, walk with awareness. Difficult. And you will go on forgetting. But don't be afraid. Whenever you remember again, be alert. Take every step with full alertness, knowingly, remaining with this step. Not allowing the mind to move somewhere else. While eating, eat, chew with awareness. Whatsoever you are doing, don't do it mechanically. And there is difference. And when I say it can be felt only, the meaning is, for example, I can raise my hand mechanically. Then I can raise my hand with full alertness. My mind conscious that my hand is being raised. Do it. Try it once mechanically and then with alertness. And you will feel the change. The quality changes immediately. Walk with alertness and you walk differently. A different grace comes to your walking. You move more slowly. More beautifully. If you walk mechanically, because you know how to walk, there is no need to be alert. The walking is ugly. There is no grace in it. Do whatsoever you are doing with alertness and feel the difference. When I say feel, I mean observe. First do it mechanically and then do it with awareness and feel the difference. And you will be able to feel the difference. For example, if you eat with awareness, you cannot eat more than is needed by the body. People go on coming to me and they say, put us on diet. The weight is going on increasing. The body is going on hoarding. Put on us diet. I tell them, don't think of diet. Think of consciousness. By dieting, nothing will happen. You cannot do it. You will do it one day and the next day it will go. You cannot continue it. Rather eat with awareness. Quality changes. If you eat with awareness, you will chew more. With unconscious mechanical habits, you simply go on pushing things into the stomach. You are not chewing at all. You are just going on stuffing. And then there is no pleasure. And because there is no pleasure, you need more food to get the pleasure. There is no taste, so you need more food just be alert and see what happens. If you are alert, you will chew more. You will feel the taste more. You will feel the pleasure of eating. And much more time will be taken. If you eat one in half an hour time, your meal, with full awareness, the same quantity of meal, you will need 1.5 hours. Thrice. Half an hour, you will have eaten only 1/3 of your quantity. And you will feel more fulfilled. You have enjoyed more. And when the body enjoys, it says you when to stop. When the body has not enjoyed at all, it never says when to stop. So you go on. And then the body becomes dull. You never hear what the body is saying. You are eating without being there, that creates the problem. Be there. And every process will be slowed. And the body will itself say, no more. And when the body says, that is the right moment. And if you are aware, you cannot trespass body's order. You will stop. So allow your body to say something. Body is saying every moment, but you are not there to hear it. Be alert, you will hear it. And when I say feel it, I know. How can you feel awareness without being aware? I am not saying that you can feel Buddha's enlightenment right now, but one has to start somewhere. You may not get the whole ocean, but a drop, just a drop, will give you the taste, and the taste is the same. Even for a single moment you can become aware, you have tasted Buddhahood momentarily, a glimpse of it. But now you know more. And this will never happen to you through thinking. It will happen only through feeling. Emphasis is on feeling because emphasis is on lived experience. Thinking is false. You can go on thinking about love and creating theories. You can get even a doctorate on the thesis of love, what love is, and without ever being in love. You don't know what love is. You have never felt it. You can grow in knowledge without being in any way growing in being. And there are two different dimensions. You can go on growing in knowledge. Your head will go on growing bigger and bigger. You will remain the same tiny self. Nothing is growing really, only accumulation. When you start feeling things, you grow, your being grows. And one has to start somewhere. So start. There may be errors, bound to be. You will go on forgetting. Natural. So don't get frustrated. Don't throw the effort away that I cannot do it. You can do it. Because the same possibility exists in you as it exists in Jesus or Buddha. You are the seed. You are not lacking anything at all. Just an arrangement. You are just a chaotic whole. Everything is there. You can become a Buddha. But a reorganization of your qualities is needed. Right now you are chaotic. because there is no arrangement. And the arrangement comes in when you start being aware. Just by being aware, things start falling in line. And this chaos that you are becomes a symphony. Enough for today.